bringing you the ag information you need. This is Market Talk, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
And good afternoon. Welcome into Market Talk here on this Thursday, May 19th. Great to have you with us once again. Thanks for making us part of your day. I am your host, Jesse Allen, and you can find us online very easily. MarketTalkAg.com is our home on the web, MarketTalkAg.com, where you can find us, all of our radio affiliates there, social media links, streaming sources, and much more. It's all online, MarketTalkAg.com. So we look at the market trade on this Thursday, soybeans and meal to start the show here today. While wheat saw more pressure, more profit taking, corn pretty much caught in the middle of the two. Here to help us work through the market trade, make sense of things on a Thursday, our good friend Brian Doherty, Senior Market Advisor with Total Farm Marketing. Brian, good afternoon to you, sir. How are you?
Jesse, thank you. Good afternoon. And you're right. The meal kind of was the winner today. Got beat up pretty hard. So it looked like when it finally got above the 21-day moving average today, it just kind of took off. But when I say beat up hard, you had this head and shoulders formation. The market peaked in March. And while the bean market was really trying to work higher and soybean oil working higher here recently, meal was on the opposite end of that, the recipient of kind of a downturn and then a bearish sell-off. From basically 470 all the way down under basically under 390. So had an $80 a ton drop off. Now starting to start flex muscle a little bit. Looks like the traders maybe also today buying the meal, selling oil, reversing some of those what we call negative spreads, depending on which side you want to be negative, but it's negative to meal, strong to oil, reversing that spread today.
Well, and I know, looking at that side of the equation, Indonesia announced that they're lifting their export ban on edible oils, but feels like the trade kind of had that factored in. We assumed that that was coming sooner than later, and it feels like that might have been part of that spreading today, possibly.
Very much. And actually, meal had kind of picked up a little ground toward the end of last week. As you kind of alluded to there, there was maybe some feel that might happen just as, you know, these bans like India banded wheat, then did and banded wheat, partially banded. So we're still not sure where they sit totally, but it looks like they'll at least allow for what export sales are in the books to be delivered. So you had a good run in the beans again. The USDA has on the report this month, didn't make any dramatic changes, but if you kind of read between the line, it's still really tight on carry out. And so we're likely to see a lot of volatility, and it just seems like the market, kind of tipped over. Now the bulls are kind of stepping back up again. We're back over $15 in November, and we got July approaching $17. It's volatile and some would argue not really going anywhere fast, which is true. We were at the same price today as we were back at the end of February, but man, you're holding really well at such high levels historically.
Very, very true. I want to talk a little bit about the wheat market here on the flip side of the coin. Another down day there today. We got the final hard winter wheat tour estimates in this afternoon, and they announced 39.7 bushels per acre, their total weighted average yield estimate. That is down from last year, 58.1. Mm-hmm. We know there's trouble with that hard red winter wheat crop in the southern plains. There's planting issues in the northern plains, the India issues you alluded to, but sweet market, it feels like we got just too overbought too quick, and we're taking a lot of profit off the table here, especially with the stock market under a lot of pressure the last couple of days, Brian.
Yeah, and there's a few things that kind of step back and look at maybe from the macro picture. Now, what's surprising with wheat down today is the dollar really took a hit today, and typically there's been a pretty strong inverse relationship to that, and the dollar is trading around 102.7, recently got in the range of 104.9, so 2 points or over 2% drop here in a week in the dollar, and yet wheat on the defensive. Wheat just blew up is what it did, and it left a gap, and what the market did today, it actually went down and filled the gap. So I think the traders sold that the market was in the overbought conditions after screeching higher at the end of last week and early this week, and then leaving a gap higher on the Sunday night trade, and then coming back and filling that. So the bulls will argue, hey, this, even though it's been down, this is a gap that, they feel more comfortable with that it's filled. So in the July contract, you've got a nice, or September contract where we're seeing more focus. You've got a nice uptrend. You've got a new high established here recently and on a pullback. On the July Chicago week, though, you've got this massive double top. So the bears are going to argue, hey, look, you've got a double top in there. So there's a lot of technical things we could talk about. You hit the nail on the head. The bottom line is winter wheat isn't very good. It's going to be scorching hot in the Southwest. Still problematic getting the crop planted timely up north. Could be some prevent plant acres. The world is a mess with Ukraine, Russia. It's got a deficit of wheat. So look for high volatility. We're at a high price. I would probably argue that unless you're just a staunch believer in the double top on the near-term contract, it's hard to say that a high is in on the wheat contract yet.
Very interesting thoughts to consider there. Corn market today, it was fairly quiet. I wasn't surprised with that. I think just too much pull from either side with beans higher and wheat lower. But we look at this corn situation, kind of the same story. You know, we're lagging in corn planting across the country. There's going to be issues in the Northern Plains getting a corn crop in. Some of those final planting dates are starting to creep up on us. Very interesting situation, I think, building in this corn market, Brian.
It is, and there may be getting, the corn market may be exhibiting this, and perhaps wheat too, even though you kind of got confirmation again this week of slow planting and problems in the north and very likely headed towards some prevent acres. It's just the bull kind of sniffs at it and, you know, steps forward and then steps backward. And what I mean by that is we're at 736 on December corn. We were in December corn. On December corn, we were at 736 on April 13th. So it's been back and forth, back and forth. So some might argue it's building a base. Uptrend still intact. Bollinger Band held his resistance this week. Market went up and touched it here on Monday and Tuesday. And the bears said, nope, you're not getting through that, so let's just sell. They're in charge. It's not a disastrous spring by any stretch. It's a late spring. You're getting, you know, I'm hearing from farmers that get corn in late. But again, that late corn, because of rain delays, often it goes in the moist soil that's warmer, doesn't take long for emergence. So what the key will be is really how the crop emerges and then how it actually, as farmers, you know, take stock of what the population count is. A few years back, particularly Indiana around the Great Lakes, there was a lot of concern that population count was down, the emergence was poor. It still turned out to be pretty good. So I'm not going to put a lot of stock into that. But with the soil conditions the way they are in areas where guys are planting, you know, they're worried they're planting a little bit too wet. But often if you get the right weather after that, maybe some softer rains, get some warmth, doesn't take long for the crop to pop out of the ground. But then again, it's going to get cold in the Northwest, and that's not very good for drying where they need to plant.
No, very true. And I think looking at all these markets, it seems like it just comes back to the basic idea of being smart about your marketing during these volatile markets, because, you know, we've seen it up and down, back and forth, around, some pretty volatile action here recently. And it's just, it all comes down to being smart.
I think it comes down to being, well, smart or strategic or putting time and energy into this. And, you know, the best plan so far in most of these markets probably has been to do nothing, but that could be the most disastrous plan. I look at something like December corn and, people are going to say, well, that's not very helpful. But I could argue $9, $10 corn by mid-August. I could argue that if you'd peel off 20 or 25% of the value from where it peaked, and that's not untypical, you're talking $5.50 basically to $6 corn. So it's really a matter of kind of defending that dump out in prices or the rally. And, you know, what the market's doing here is it's more base building, and it's really giving farmers an opportunity to sort of kind of prepare for either one of those or both. And so don't get lulled into what has to hold or it has to rally or can't go down or that kind of language. Recognize the market when it moves. It's likely to break out to the top side or bottom side pretty quickly. And then it's like trying to catch a falling knife or catch a bouncing ball. It's just difficult to do. So take some time and plan for it now, both in corn and soybeans. I think as far as the wheat is concerned, you've got good enough prices where you should be selling any of your expected spring wheat production or that is harvest ahead. And even start looking at next year, making some blind assumption the world's going to rebound in wheat production.
Brian, let's move over to livestock. Looking at the cattle markets today, live cattle trade did all right as we got things settled up. Feeder cattle down a little bit. Felt like maybe we were squaring positions ahead of tomorrow's cattle on feed report just a little bit today.
It sure did. It just smacked of that. Looks like consolidation. You know, it's been a tough go in the cattle complex. You look at the equity market and you can just, which one's trying to race down further? It seems here lately, it's either equities. You've got this racing dollar. So, you know, everybody's worried about the exports and concerns about, you know, all these cattle that are in the feedlots, which because of dry conditions this spring, wheat pasture conditions weren't that good. So I want to be very careful because I think when you look at the bottom line price of corn, labor issues, the demographics of the cow-calf producer, it is just really difficult to imagine that we're in a stage here the last 18 to 24 months with COVID and everything else that we're really just growing this herd. And so I think supplies get tighter and tighter. We've talked about that before. As we look out to the back months, we've had the April contract here this winter and spring so far, trading above 150, getting as high as 158, settling back near 152 with everything else. But I want to think that longer term, you've got limited supplies of feeders, at least not increasing. The market's down to at least a double bottom on deferred contracts. It's probably time to step in front of the feeder market and own it.
Hog market today, we've had how many straight days here of buying and moving to the upside, and then finally looks like maybe we took some profit. One has to wonder, maybe we're starting to build a little bit of a range here. Maybe the market is it saying, you know, hey, 105, 106 on these front months, maybe even up to 110. That's going to be maybe our limit here for a short time. I wonder about that, Brian.
Well, part of the big problem this week in sort of the economic world is just the growing concern that China is really hard on their lockdowns and that Beijing implemented more lockdowns and that you're just not going to get that long-term world demand for beef or pork. I don't know about that. The problem, I think you get in beef. Pork, you'll get it, but that source where we saw it for a couple of years, you know, a lot of arrows indicate that China is pre-pandemic hog herd size. And the way that they've made purchases of U.S. corn this winter and their internal price of corn over equivalent to well over $11 U.S., it just, to me, smells that they got plenty of pork or plenty of hogs to feed. And so they've been purchasing. And so, unfortunately, you probably don't see the export sector there show as much benefit. But, you know, really, the hog market running to wait where it did peak in that June contract at 127. It did that right at the end of the first quarter, dropped off over 31 dollars, now bouncing back. The true price is probably somewhere in that 100 to 110 area. Makes a lot of sense to me given our price of corn and meal.
Brian, how about the dairy market? What are you seeing there as we wrap up the week?
Boy, you talk about a volatile market. Really good run up here the last two or three sessions. We're getting back to where the market was here right toward the end of April. So the beginning of May was kind of rough. The world global dairy trade is a kind of a guide to what that looks like. That's been down twice now in a row, and the market reflected that. But then when we step back, what you're still seeing is really good demand here in the U.S., but the dairy producers facing all kinds of other issues that all businesses face at some point. You got labor issues, you've got high input costs. They too are scratching their head. Are we going to have enough feed? Do we get rid of old cows? So it looks well supported. I think I mentioned to you this before, but typically the dairy market is one to form more of historically almost what we call a V top, where you kind of run up and then sort of run down. And then you find an equilibrium price somewhere. I think we've run up and we're going to consolidate in the general pattern as we have been now for, we're working on our third full month of it with generally range bound prices. There's good, excellent demand out there. I just came back from an economic symposium in my state of Wisconsin, and part of that was taking a full look at all the economic issues and just the strong demand for the cheese market and products. And that's supportive. But on the other hand, the input side is again going to keep, I think, every dairy producer close to the knife. And interest rates kind of creeping up, unless they jump real fast, I don't think they are going to necessarily look at big expansions anywhere in the dairy industry. I just don't see it.
Well, Brian, great analysis as always. Any final thoughts you have for us here on this Thursday?
Just don't overthink this. We've got good markets. You've got a lot of risk because of rising inputs. Make sure you're kind of same old things that have been kind of time tested, proven successful. That is continue to forward sell, sell ahead, sell early, sell often, buy puts on what you don't want to forward sell, or put type strategies. And then if you want to cover those sales, look at some type of an option strategy. You just want to be really prepared for things also to abruptly and rapidly change as we head toward weather markets.
Well, Brian, if producers need some advice with their marketing, I know they can reach out to you and the team there at Total Farm Marketing very easily. How can they do that?
Best way is a phone call, Jesse, 800-334-9779. So that would be the best way. Ask, if you want to talk to me specifically, you can talk to any of our brokerage solutions advisors. They're all licensed, they're experienced. We got great retention here with people that have helped farmers for a long time. If you want to talk to me, I'm Brian with a Y. We have two Brians, or you can email me, brian@totalfarmmarketing.com, or we got a website, totalfarmmarketing.com, and just take a look at that.
Well, Brian, we appreciate the time and insight as always, sir. Have a great rest of your day and a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Jesse. You as well.
Thank you. Brian Doherty with Total Farm Marketing. He's joining us here on this Thursday on Market Talk. That's going to do it for the show today. Find us online, markettalkag.com. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great afternoon.